music plays. In all of our lives, right? Every life filled with music. Have you ever met a person who says, I don't like music? It's weird. I had a friend. I don't know if he's reversed his stance on this. I haven't checked in with him about it in a while. He didn't like people singing. Like, I think he could handle it if it was on a recording. Or maybe it was in a professional setting. But just someone singing, just, you know, like expressing joy through song. He didn't like it. What kind of a world? Who wants to live that way? Now, that said, I once had a house guest who idly sang and whistled all the time, and it drove me out of my goddamn mind. But that was all the time. I'm not the bad guy in the story. I feel like I've made myself the bad guy in the story, and I think I need to establish that I am not, and it's my friend that I talked about earlier. He's the bad guy. If I was a bad guy, why would I tell a story where I'm the bad guy, right? This is logic. I am good. My friend is bad. Why am I friends with a bad person? Does that make me bad? You're trying to trap me. I won't be trapped. I'll chew my own arm off. Is that what happened in 127 dresses? Is it days or dresses? How many dresses did he go through before he got out of the ravine? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Spontaneanation with Paul F. Tompkins. I am the second part. This is a show where I invite a special guest onto the program to join me in a free-form conversation inspired by a blind question from our previous episode's guest. Then I invite some improviser pals onto the show to join me in a narrative improv that is one continuous story as opposed to unconnected scenes inspired by a location provided by our special guest and oftentimes utilizing details gleaned from our aforementioned freeform conversation. And it is all scored on piano by Mr. Eben Schletter. That's what he goes like. Well, folks, I am very happy to be welcoming this person to the show. Author. Actress. Musician. Why, you're saying no to all these things? Oh, I thought I had booked the wrong person. You were doing a modest thing.
It's false modesty.
The best kind. Please welcome to Spontaneanation, Calpurnia Adams.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
Hello.
Thank you.
I'm going to lower your microphone here just a little bit. Calpurnia, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, God, I'm just glad to get a furlough and get out and, you know, a few hours of fresh air.
Where are they keeping you these days?
Well, I believe it or not, I literally am living in a castle right now. A friend of mine owns a literal castle, and I'm living in the tower of it.
Can you?
That's not a joke.
This is true. Where
it's
is
not a joke.
Is this here in the Los Angeles area?
Yeah, Hollywood.
Holy macaroni.
Yeah, it's a little on the northeasterly edge, but yeah. It's up there.
How are you finding castle living? Are you enjoying it?
Well, I was to the manor born, you might say.
Of course.
I'm a white trash from Tennessee, actually. I escaped by reading a lot, you know. So what a fantasy, living in a castle.
Has the castle been modernized?
Well, strangely enough, believe it or not, oh, don't tell Hollywood gossip, see? It's President Reagan's first wife, Jane Wyman, who was an actress, lived in this lived in this castle before she met Ronnie. So and then some female comedienne as well who transitioned from the vaudeville stage to talkies owned the house, and so there's a lot of ghosts of comedy and jilted wives there.
I guess what I was asking is there central air?
I had to go on Craigslist and buy one of those standalone air conditioners.
Sure, absolutely. A swamp cooler? Is that what those are?
Well, my boyfriend tried to push the swamp cooler meme on me, and I was like, I'm not, that doesn't work. I want an air conditioner. So,
when you were growing up, were you a turn the fan out? Like sucking the hot air out of the house, or were you turn the fan in to just make some air happen?
Well, I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and air conditioning is absolutely essential. My mother demanded it, no matter how poor we were. So the window had an air conditioner in it, and then the box fan was in the room on us.
Okay, yes.
Blowing us.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
I like to be blown.
I think you speak for a lot of us in this room. Calpurnia, I have, well, first, before I get to the question, you said, this is unprecedented on the show.
Yeah.
You said you had a treat you wanted to bring out.
Well, I do. I do. I'm from Tennessee, and you know, one of the things we're famous for is moonshine. And I, if any of you are in recovery or sober or just don't want any, whatever, you don't have to have any. But I brought something special. It's honey shine, which when they harvest honey, they cut the combs with a hot knife, and the hot knife turns the honey that touches it directly black. And they take that black honey, turn it into mead, which is a wine made from honey, and then distill that into a moonshine made from honey mead. And it's a super potent moonshine with a honey aftertaste.
Wow.
So I brought that, and I, you know, you, it's so strong, you just need like a half a micron of it, but I'll pull that out, pour a little bit, and whoever wants to just taste it can taste it.
Please, let me get this stupid water out of my glass.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Just pulling it out here. I didn't know how many folks would be here. Who would like a little teeny sip just to taste?
Oh, one, I'll try two, it for sure.
Three. No.
Ronnie's okay, Ronnie.
No, okay, three.
Sure, why not? He walked here, so he's fine.
Five. I'm just going to pour enough to taste it. I mean, it's not to get drunk or anything.
Do they have videos online of the knife hitting the honey?
This is from J. Riley Distillery. Ding! I don't get paid for that, but look up J. Riley Distillery, and they made, this is a one-off batch that they only make when honey is harvested.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You can't even get this. Normally, it's just it is so strong.
Calpurnia has poured out like a nitroglycerin serving.
It is so strong. I mean, you can have as much as you want. You can have as much as you want, but you tell me.
Oh my God!
Let's. Oh boy, here we go, guys. This is exciting. We're all going on a trip together. This is exciting.
Wait, you can have as much as you want, but I've poured out just a little because it is.
All right, well, cheers. Thank you so much. Yeah. See you guys on the other side.
Mm. You down it or just sip it?
Either way, however you like.
That's good.
There's a honey finish, though. Feel the finish.
Yeah.
I do feel the finish.
The honey finish.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
Now, do you?
Well, then here we go.
Was that pour appropriate or was that pour appropriate?
That absolutely.
If it had been more than that, you'd be vomiting.
Yes, it was. Now, that's their slogan at the distillery, right?
That's my slogan on a date. More than 5 minutes, you'll vomit.
All right. Well, then this is a very interesting question, Calpurnia. This comes to us from our previous episode's guest, and let's see how we do. Our guest asks you, what's your first memory?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I actually wrote a song about this memory. because, you know, first memories are special. Mm-hmm. When I was real, real little, for years, I denied that I had ever lived in a trailer. Because whenever people would interview me or write about me or whatever, they're like, oh, you're from Tennessee. Tell me about the trailer park days. Just assuming, I'd be like, how dare you assume I never lived in a trailer? But I did for just a little bit. And I had a real thin blue Mickey Mouse blanket with Mickey Mouse's printed all over it, but it was real thin. One night I went to sleep and I woke up in the middle of the night terrified, and I saw what I thought was the devil in my room. And I'm like a toddler, like a baby or something. It's one of my earliest memories. I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian cult, by the way. So I saw this floating head surrounded by these little candle flame-like lights. And when I peeked out from my blanket, the head would turn around slowly and look at me. And so I'd pull the blanket back up over my head and look through the weave, and it would turn to face the wall where my parents were asleep. And so I was like trembling under the blanket. It was so hot in the South and muggy, but I didn't want to take the blanket off. So I just sweated and sweated and sweated. And like once or twice more, I tried to peek out and the head would turn around. And finally, I just fell asleep, you know, sweating in terror. And I woke up, sure enough, with a blanket over my head covered in sweat.
My God.
It was probably just a night terror. Who knows? But
what did the head? So did the head look like your classic devil?
No, kind of like a skull with the skin shrink wrapped onto it.
Sure. And then surrounded by little flames.
Like, sort of a expanded halo of candle flames, like.
Oh, okay. Was it around the top of the head, like horizontally, or was
horizontally.
Not like framing. Like,
almost like Saturn's rings.
Right.
But I assume they were, later I look back and assume they were little demons or something.
Yeah, why not, right?
You know, if it even happened at all, who knows, but.
Now, so did the head speak? It didn't say anything.
No.
But when you looked, it would turn around and look at you.
And it was malevolent, I could sense. But
sure.
When you're raised in a fundamentalist Christian cult, everything is malevolent.
Yeah.
It's like if you sin in your heart, you've done sin for real. So you're going to go to hell, even if you're 4 years old. So.
And there was a lot of talk of...
Hell is for children.
Right. There was a lot of talk of the devil, right?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of country church where... And my dad was a lay minister. My mother was a church pianist. So, you know, there were times when both my parents were on stage just like staring at me like, don't y'all act up. And daddy would be screaming from the pulpit and they would just scream. You could actually smell phlegm in the air from the Lord, you know, that kind of a... thing. It was a great way to grow up. I turned out perfectly normal.
You were religious for how long?
Oh, like 10 or 11. And I was like, what? This doesn't make any sense.
What was the thing that turned it for you?
As anyone in our studio can see, I'm a glamorous, gorgeous lady, but I am America's early 2000s transsexual sweetheart. I was deposed by many figures to come, but I was born a boy, and after my time in the military, I transitioned medically, legally, and socially to female. So growing up, you know, my gender identity problems, my attraction to boys, none of that worked with 1970s and 80s Southern fundamentalist Christianity. And I was like, well, I can't help this. Why do I have to go to hell for this? You know, that ain't right. And it's funny because the church did teach me a lot of good things too, though. It taught me kindness. The church actually taught me racism was immoral. Misogyny was immoral. You know, women did have a place, but it wasn't like, you know, they're less than or, you know. I don't know. There was a kindness they taught me, and the music is what really got me through it, and that's what I still am influenced by today. But otherwise, it was a soul-crushing void of negativity.
What were your favorite hymns?
Oh, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. And have you been washed in the blood and the blood of the Lamb? Any of them with blood in it.
Sure. The blood ones are good. Yeah. I like the ones like the Power of the Blood where it sounds like a drinking song.
Yeah, I'd be stomping my foot and clapping and everything. Right. And, you know, it's... and. Subsequently, I have been drunk playing that song on the fiddle many times.
And that, so in the church, is that where you learned to play music?
Yeah, growing up, we all just taught ourselves. Our church pianist kicked the bucket at some point, and Mama was just like, well, I can do that. So she bought a book, and Daddy got a piano off the back pages of the newspaper, and over the course of a summer, she taught herself piano. And I took my cousin's fiddle, and over the course of a summer, I walked our big old wooded backyard in circles in a trance and just taught myself to play. And cuckoo. And my brother taught himself to play guitar. My sister played the tambourine. And we were just like a little bluegrass gospel family band.
What about secular music at that time? What were you hearing and what was your feeling about it?
No, that was not allowed.
Right.
So I missed New Wave and Madonna. And we also weren't allowed to go to modern movies. So I missed Star Wars and E.T. and Disney. None of it. None of it. So the only way to know what was going on in pop culture was I would go down to the CB store. That was our little locally owned mini mart. Mm-hmm. And I'd browse the Mad magazines on the rack. Mm-hmm. And I would backwards extrapolate from the parody what the real movie had been. Mm-hmm. So the parody in Mad of the original Star Wars, I'd be like, all right, there's lightsabers and a little green guy and, you know, I'd be like, that part's too stupid. That's not real. That's the parody. And so I could fake it in school, like, yeah, how about that Princess Leia? Oh, yeah. And I've assumed they saw right through me. I was an utter freak. But, you know, I tried, and that's all that counts.
Here's what's so wonderful is you were still – you didn't miss out on that fundamental – childhood experience that we all have, which is lying to impress other people. No matter where you come from, that's just a thing we all get to do.
Basing my self-worth on the opinions of morons
Who
don't matter and are probably dead now.
That's right. So when you would hear non-church music, was it exciting for you or was it scary for you? Or was it both?
Well, my secular friend, Jerry... whose house I would occasionally go over to. One time he put on a Prince record.
Oh, wow.
And he was playing it, and I kept, drawing the record back so it would say, the sweat of your body covers me. The sweat of your body covers me. And I'd be like, listen to that, Jerry. Do you think that's appropriate? Like, I had swallowed the Kool-Aid as a child. I was like, well, he's talking about sex, Jerry. Do you think that's right for us to be listening to?
But you were playing it over and over again.
The sweat of your body covers me. And but now, you know, I'm fully on the other side.
Right. Who were the artists that you gravitated towards once you got out of religion?
Jerry got into got into a magnet school, mm-hmm. which is a school for the academically gifted. And I asked him if I could borrow his application form, went down to the public library, mimeographed it, even though I didn't get one. And I filled it out, mailed it to him. And in those pre-computer days, they were just like, all right. And so I got into the magnet school. Mm-hmm. And going there, I met my first vegetarian.
Now, did you do this? Did your parents know you were doing this?
No.
Wow.
And then I just, the letter came and I was just like, oh, look, I'm supposed to go to this school. And they were like, all right. And so I met my first vegetarian, Joyce. And Joyce, she was like this granola chick, you know, big curly hair, and her parents were professors. And I opened her refrigerator, and there was like seitan and tofu. It's like, what? Where's your hog jowls? You know, where's your souse meat? And
your what?
Your souse meat.
What souse meat?
The head cheese. Oh, not what you're thinking.
I've never heard that term before.
We would kill hogs on Uncle J.C. Peach's farm in October, November. And you take all the leftovers, like the head and the tail and the feet and all that, and you boil it till it all breaks down. And then you put in gelatin. And you form it into these loaves of this flesh-colored, semi-translucent loaf with little gobbets mm-hmm. of skin, bone, and connective tissue. And then you slice it up with some spice on it and eat it on bread.
The closest thing I have experienced to that is scrapple. I'm from Philadelphia, and so that's scrapple is almost the same thing, maybe slightly less gruesome, but scrapple is, it's sweepings, basically. It's like the stuff that's not good enough to go on a hot dog. And they, it's again, they put it in a loaf, and then you slice it up and you fry it.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a breakfast food.
I bet souse would fry up, kind of like Spam or something. But, so Joyce made me a mixtape.
Vegetarian Joyce.
Vegetarian. And it had on it Kate Bush, David Bowie, The Sting and the Police, Suzanne Vega, Jane Seabury, if you don't know her, she's from Canada, amazing. Just like all these really cool, The Cure, just really cool music that I had never heard, even though mm-hmm. I grew up in the 80s, and it blew my mind. I listened to it over and over, and that mixtape changed my life.
Wow. Do you still have that tape?
I do.
Oh!
Yeah, it's fantastic. In storage, and I need to lay it off digitally before it disintegrates.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Calpurnia Adams, I wish we had more time.
Oh, God.
Thank you so much for being here. Yes. Is there anything in particular you'd like to promote, and where can people find you online?
Well, my name is spelled Calpurnia. If you go to calpurnia.com or Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, /Calpurnia, I'm there. Come say hi. Be my friend. I'm lonely. I hate myself. Lie to me. And everything will just go as it goes.
Don't feel too bad for her. She lives in a castle. All right, Calpurnia.
So did Rapunzel.
Thank you for being here. We are going to take a break. During the break, you will listen to the ad. Stay alive. No matter what occurs, I will find you. Oh, hello again. We're still here. Don't be scared. Folks, it is time to meet our friends from the land of make-pretends. Seated right next to me. Kimia Bapornia is back, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so sorry. I think I'm still stinging from that moonshine.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. I feel regular.
I feel normal.
Yeah. Nothing from that moonshine. Just my throat's a little burned, I think.
I feel nice and warm.
Well, I feel dry.
You feel dry?
My throat, it's dry. I've been burned.
But
I like it.
Did you gulp it right down like I did?
I did.
Yeah. It seemed like the thing to
do. I copied you because I didn't know what to do, and then you're the boss, so I just did what you did.
Well, as soon as I did that, I was in the process of doing that when Maria asked, do you gulp it or sip it? I was like, uh-oh, I should have waited and listened to this question and how it turns out.
Well, you and I gulped it, and we're okay.
We're fine.
Yeah.
I like us.
I like us too.
Kimia, how have you been since the last time I've seen you?
Oh, very good. It's summer now.
It is summer now.
Which means I'm getting a tan very quickly, all day. I get darker every minute.
I used to, when I was a kid, I used to tan like crazy.
Yeah.
And then when I graduated high school, I started to burn. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed.
Don't know what changed. I don't burn, which is pretty good.
Have you ever?
I have burned before, but not a terrible peely burn like a lot of people I know have gotten. It's just been like red and it's ouchy for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into a dark, dark tan.
Isn't that nice?
I guess so.
Then you look like $1 million.
I don't know. I don't like being tan.
You don't like being tan?
I don't. Not really.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Do you feel like you don't look like yourself?
Perhaps. Maybe this is, people always think that I'm black, but I'm not. It's a combination of my hair, and possibly in the summer, I just get darker, and it's just feeding the false pretenses I'm living under. I'm 100% Persian. I'm not black. I'm going to say that everywhere I can say that.
Now, your hair in the summer.
Yeah.
Does it double in size?
It does not.
It stays the same.
It does. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
I think it's because we have a dry heat, so my hair doesn't puff out.
There you go.
Even more. Also, I teach swimming in the summer to kids, and that probably escalates my tans, for sure. But also maybe keeps my hair down because the chlorine will dampen my hair.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So maybe that's what equals it all out.
Guys, we got to the bottom of it.
We sure did.
Anyone who thought we couldn't do it, that's on you.
Yeah.
Kimmy, I'm going to look away from you, but I want you to know my heart is full with the idea that you teach kids swimming in the summertime.
Oh, yes.
That's very
I'll precious. Teach anyone's kids.
No adults.
Oh, I can teach adults, too.
But you won't do it.
No.
Kimmy, I'm going to look away from you to look directly across from you. Kitty corner for me, meow. Maria Blasucci is back.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Good, Maria. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Great.
All right. Well, it's good catching up with you. Maria, how are you enjoying your moonshine experience?
I thought it was really thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
The taste, I'd never tasted anything quite like it. I'm grateful for the experience.
As am I. The finish is everything, right?
The finish is everything. I'd love to see a video of that knife hitting the honey comb because I want to see black ooze just fall from a knife. So that's what
This is something you've been saying for a long time.
Yeah, and I can't believe it's real. I can't believe it's real. And now I'll be looking that up when I get home. Maybe, to be honest, Paul, maybe even in the car before I drive away from here.
Before you drive away.
Maybe, maybe not. Hey, I'm moonshine happy now, baby.
That's true. What if we all get in car accidents?
Who cares?
Exactly!
That's my philosophy. Who cares?
Maria, can you very quickly do the intro to your podcast?
Hi, welcome to The Big Ones. This is Maria, and I'm Amanda. Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
Very nice. And then Amanda takes over with her part.
Yes. Okay. So, got you there, Paul. Sorry, you wanted me to fail, but I did it, and you know what?
Do you know what's funny, Maria?
What?
This whole time?
Yeah.
I've wanted you to succeed.
Well, you have a funny way of showing it, Paul.
Yes, I do. I'm a funny guy! Maria, I'm going to look away from you to look directly across the table from me. Ronnie Adrian is back.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Ronnie Adrian. And guess what? I am black. Unlike Kimia, who is ashamed, I am not. I am 100% proud to be black.
Listen, I'm not secretly black. I just want to say
Kimia,
that
you've had your time. Let Ronnie speak.
All right.
Ronnie, you were just on our last episode. I am still reeling from the news that Richie Valens had a plane crash at his grade school when he was a child and then later died in a plane crash.
What a crazy omen.
I'm still having a hard time believing that.
Hey, you don't have to believe me. Believe the Richie Valens story.
Wait,
starring Lou
La Bamba?
Diamond Phillips.
I haven't seen La Bamba.
Oh, well,
to
then
my
that
eternal
makes sense,
shame.
Then.
Have you seen La Bamba?
No, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Kimmy, I thought you were looking at me like, how could you not have seen La Bamba?
No, but you were
looking at me like, what are these people talking
about?
Exactly. Okay, great.
Well, it's a big plot point in La Bamba. So.
Well, yeah, I know that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's right in the beginning too.
Yeah.
It hits you right over the head, right from the jump.
But it's real? This really happened?
Yeah.
I thought about it on the way over here and I was like, wait a minute, I believed that. But it's. I could look this up and find out. Maria, you have your work cut out for you today. You got to look up the...
I don't have to look anything up, Paul. I know that in La Bamba, there's a plane crash at a grade school that La Bamba went to.
La Bamba.
And then he gets in a plane crash later.
Look, I think... It's one of those things that it sounds so crazy.
Yes.
But I just recently watched the James Brown film Get On Up.
Yes.
About James Brown starring Chadwick Boseman.
Yes.
You might know him from Black Panther.
That's right.
And in the beginning, it's the craziest beginning that you've ever seen. It's like there's no way that a human being did this crazy thing, and. Even if necessarily like the dialogue or necessarily like the events of how it happened once it was happening is not necessarily true.
Right.
The event actually took place and it's so nuts.
Absolutely.
It's so nuts.
But don't think I didn't look that up too immediately.
Well, that's why he was afraid of flying, Richie Valens. Wasn't he afraid of flying? Or maybe that's just something that Lou Diamond Phillips kind of like portrayed in the movie.
Well, in the movie, it seemed like he was afraid of flying.
Yeah, okay, so. Then I'm just waiting for someone to back me
but
up.
But did he say he was afraid of flying, or is it any time an airplane came by?
I think before it happened, he was like, and they was like, no, hey, man, like,
you gotta
like
he
always
plane.
Be like, let's try to get, like, no, we got to get on, like, we got to get there faster or whatever. Right. Or maybe he was like, hey, like, come on, stop hanging out with your bandmates. Come hang out with us. You know, the cool guys, the big bopper and I.
The coolest guy.
The coolest guy. And he was like, all right. But he was very, like, timid about trying to get on that plane. It wasn't like he was like, hell yeah.
But wait.
Let me fly it.
We're talking about just the plane at the end. It was not a thing they established throughout the entire film.
No, I think he had dreams all the time about his childhood, a plane crash at his school.
Is this true? I'm just saying this.
No, we're saying this is true. I'm just saying these things happened in the movie.
Well, I'm just saying this is true because Maria sounds so confident about it. I'm going to be 100% real with you. I never remember movies well.
Yeah. So, like, to be honest, in the beginning,
I'm just like, I guess.
I've only seen it once. And I, for the first time, like a couple months ago, and I all I'm seeing is blips, and I'm filling in the blanks myself, but I could be completely wrong.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your candor. Thank you.
I do remember the fact that his brother, though, huge fuck up.
Oh my God, his brother Isai Morales. Is the best. His
sure.
brother's the best. He makes everything worse.
His brother's the best. He makes everything worse.
He's just really, ugh.
Kimia, will you watch La Bamba with me?
Yeah, sure. Let's watch La Bamba.
All right. We'll work this out on.
We don't have to do that on mic. This is good. I don't even know who that is. Oh, it's the guy who made that song?
Yeah.
Also, what did you think it was about?
Listen, I didn't know who you were talking about. You guys kept saying La Bamba, and I kept thinking of those peanut snacks. The Bamba snacks? That's all I was thinking about.
Also, I'm not 100% sure that was the exact melody of La Bamba. But
right.
You said La Bamba at the end, and I was like, well, that's the song.
That's not correct.
What was that,
that's
though?
That's the beginning.
You're doing like the very guitar part.
I'm not coming
like Maria.
Well, I wasn't going to come in the middle of the song like an amateur. I was starting from the beginning.
Look, we're all drunk. I don't want us to get in a big fight. We got to take a break and drink some black coffee. When we return, we will reveal the location for our improv, and then we're going to do that improv, all this, and nothing else, when Spontane Nation returns. So many fanfares happening. Well, it is that time to reveal the location for our improv, provided to us by our guest, Calpurnia Adams. But first, just so as you know, in order to aid us in our storytelling, we use three sound effects that move us about in space and time. Let's say we're in a scene and we need to travel into the past for some reason. Someone's having a memory, we're learning how something came to be. Anytime we travel into the past, we use this flashback sound effect. Let's say we want to get back to where we were. Anytime we move forward in time, we use this flash forward sound effect. Now, this final sound moves us only in space, not in time. Let's say we're in a scene. We want to find out what's happening at the exact same moment somewhere else. We use this meanwhile sound effect. Past. Present. Future. Everyone gets it. And any of our improvisers may touch these buttons at any time. And now! It is time to reveal the location for improv provided to us by our guest, Calpurnia Adams, and that location is inside the mind of a horny housewife. Inside the mind of a horny housewife. We take you now inside the mind of a horny housewife.
Ugh, these dishes. They never get done. They never get done. Ugh. They never get done.
Hey,
Oh.
Thinking about sex?
Yeah, I am, Ricardo.
I heard you talking about dishes, but...
No, I know. I have to get to these dishes and...
Why?
I wasn't expecting you to show up.
Well, here I am with my shirt off.
Yeah, I know, but Cal's gonna be home in a couple
of hours. Cal, that weakling?
He's not a weak...
weakling, Ricardo. He's
you know he's a weakling, and you know I'm strong.
I know you're strong, Ricardo. I know you're strong.
I'm strong and other.
Ricardo, we can't keep doing this.
Why can't we? It's great.
Because it's not great for my family. It's not great for my husband.
I'll be your husband.
You can't be my husband.
Why can't I?
Because you're not real. You're not real.
That makes me the best husband.
You're right.
Do I snore?
No.
No, I don't. Do I hug the covers?
No.
Do I ever tell you that you don't look beautiful?
No.
That's right. I'm Ricardo. I should be your husband.
Ugh, these dishes. I'm sorry. I can't. No. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore.
Dishes.
Hey, boss. I thought I'd cut off early. I gotta get home to my wife. Haven't been back there early in a bit.
All right. Okay. Well, let me ask you. Did you finish all your work?
Yeah. It's all finished, all stacked and ready to go, all those papers.
Then guess what? You're free to go.
Boy, that was easy.
Hey, you know my rules around here. You finish your work and you stack it up nice, get on out the door, I don't say it twice.
Hey, Cal, excuse me. Boss, can I get off from work early? I didn't finish my work.
Well, is your unfinished work at least stacked?
It sure isn't.
Then I'm sorry, Greg, but you're going to have to stay.
God, the system is impenetrable.
Well, all right. You know what? Hey, cool. So I'll come in tomorrow morning, and then I'll do all my work and stack it. Is that good?
Hey, do you want to go home?
I
just said you can leave, and it feels like you're...
Listen, I do want to go home, but I don't know why, you know? Everyone goes home to their wives, and I've just been staying at work late. Haven't been going home, you know,
Okay, well, that's weird. I mean, you go home to your wife for companionship, maybe a meal of some kind.
Yeah.
I mean, sex. Sorry.
I will go home early and have sex. Okay.
Cal, what do you want with him? All he does is work, and then he stacks it.
Ricardo, come on! Now give him a break, all right? Cal works hard for this family. He provides food. He provides nourishment.
What does he provide this?
Ricardo, your pants! They're gone!
They're completely gone, like they never were there at all.
Oh, my mind. I've got to get to a shrink or something. Something's not right. I'm not myself. I never used to have these sexual thoughts. And then all of a sudden, I see one poster of a man without pants on, and you've gotten into my mind like some worm.
That's right, and I'm here to stay, like the sexiest worm that ever got inside an apple of a mind.
Wait, I think that's Cal, his car.
What?
He's home early. Oh, Ricardo, you have to leave.
Poof.
Oh, boy, my wife, I'm home.
Hi, Cal, I was just doing the dishes. I wasn't expecting you so soon.
Oh, yeah, I thought I'd leave early so we could have sex.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
That's new. You don't usually show me affection. And
I know.
I mean, you're not showing me affection now, you're just...
What the fuck is going on here? What's he doing home?
Ricardo, just leave it be, okay?
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to my friend.
Who?
Me! You're milling about in here. This is your fun. This is the fun part of your brain.
This is Secular Roger.
Secular Roger?
Yeah, you know it.
I don't have any secular friends.
I do.
Ricardo!
The sweat of your body covers me.
That's right.
The sweat of your body covers me.
No!
What?
No!
I haven't even touched you yet.
No, I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of something. I have to go lay down. I've got one of my headaches.
Okay. I can get you an aspirin.
No,
we can
hit this
in the butt and...
Leave me alone. Leave me alone, everybody!
Hey, Secular Roger. Let's play some more secular music.
Ricardo, you know I got many, many records.
Oh, I know you do.
All right. See, I got some. What are you in the mood for? Like something heavy or like sexy?
Really sexy.
Ooh, really sexy?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also really heavy if you have one that does both.
Ooh. Yep. I got this. Paul McCartney, Maybe I'm Amazed.
Perfect.
Maybe I'm amazed at the way you're
done. What was that?
Oh, I have a sexy song in my head. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Maybe I'm afraid of the way I'm...
Is that what's causing your headache?
Oh,
Cal, I have to say something to you. I've been fantasizing about a man and his friend.
What?
A man
and his friend?
Hey, did you hear that? We got a shout out.
Yeah. Why is my shirt off now?
Just go with it.
I saw a poster of a very handsome Latino man. Oh. I was coming out of the nail salon, and it was just there, and I made up a fantasy in my mind. I named him Ricardo, and now his friend, a secular, non-religious man, is his friend, and he's playing me all sorts of music that I'm like.
Ricardo, I wonder what I look like. Oh, yeah. You're a handsome Latino man. Yeah. What do I look like?
You know who you kind of look like is Isai Morales from the movie La Bamba. He was the brother.
Yeah.
The fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? He was kind of sexy.
He was a good-looking guy.
Yes.
This is insane. This is all crazy. Is this your way of proposing a threesome? Because I would be into maybe seeing another dude and plus you.
It would be a foursome, Cal.
What?
I'm not leaving out Ricardo and secular Roger.
Oh, that's nice.
I like it.
You know what, Cal? Forget it.
Those people aren't real, though.
They're not real. You're not real.
No, I'm...
Cal, please. Everything I say, you're just a woman. Well, you know what?
I haven't said that.
Yes, you have. With your eyes, you've said it. Forget these dishes. Crash.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
I'm leaving. That's right. I'm taking the car and I'm leaving. I'll be at the motel.
What?
I'll be at the Moonlight Motel.
Oh. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh, I don't think I got a song for this.
I think this is going to be a different kind of music. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's boring here. Maybe I shouldn't have left. Let's see what's on TV. What do you guys feel like watching?
I don't know. I mean, like, something sexy?
I mean, old episodes of Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just like to have fun.
Not the new stuff. Yeah. Vintage Jersey Shore.
Well, Roger, they don't have, you know...
Excuse me. Secular Roger.
All right, guys, you know what? I've had it about up to here with the two of you, all right? You can't just let me be. I'm trying to relax.
What are you going to do? We're in your mind.
I know someone who can help.
What?
Who else do you know?
I know, so I saw it on TV. It's a man who can get in there, and he can take away the pain. All right, I'm going to Dr. Lombardi. Here I come.
So you have chosen to visit Dr. Lombardi.
Yes, I have. Now I saw you advertised in one of my the back of one of my Penny Saver magazines, and it says that you can get rid of the voices in your head. You can become a new woman, and I'm ready.
Good, good. Glad to hear my Penny Saver ads are working.
They very much are.
Well, yes. What? They are?
They very much are.
Good. That's really what I want to know first. Second, sit in this chair, close your eyes.
Ooh, okay. This is
Dr.
very
Lombardi,
comfortable.
Sorry to interrupt just a second ago. I just wanted to let you know that your latest patient, he has not spoken yet.
Okay.
But we are still monitoring the situation, uh-huh. And we are positive that he shall be speaking within the next week or so. It's been 2 months and he still hasn't spoken since.
Okay.
But...
Do not give these updates in front of new
yes,
patients.
Yes, that's a very ominous update, but you know what? You seem very hopeful about it, so I'm not scared.
Perfect!
She should be scared, right?
I think so.
That doesn't sound good.
Not at all. I mean, I'm looking through her eyes, and I could see that it was, I don't know, it seemed like drones all throughout the building when we were walking up to this office.
It was scary.
It was grim.
This is not good.
Okay, well, the two of you shut up. I'm trying to make a decision for myself. I'm a woman.
Hey, this decision affects us.
Oh, does it?
Well,
does it?
Yeah, you're talking about getting the voices out of your head. That's us.
Yeah, that's us.
Well, if you'd stop yourself, I wouldn't have to.
Well, I mean, you never really asked us to stop nicely.
Would you stop?
No.
Not at all. I'm secular Roger. All I know is secular things.
That's right. Stopping is not secular.
Not at all. It's the opposite of secular.
Yeah, Everyone knows this.
God.
What are we on, step four? All right, I'm going to need you to take down some of this moonshine. We can't afford anesthetic, so this is what you're going to take.
Oh, wow. I'm just so thrilled by this whole thing. Now, you don't have anesthetic, but you have moonshine?
Wonderful, yes. Just chug it down.
All right, here I go.
Perfect. Soon you will feel very sleepy. And once you become sleepy, I will stick an ice pick through your ear and into your brain. And then you will remember nothing.
You heard that, right?
Yeah, 100%. Also, wow, that moonshine is the strongest thing I've ever smelled.
Real strong.
He opened the bottle and I about passed out.
Yeah, and we're fake.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? I can't believe I'm meeting the two of you. I must have passed out from that moonshine and now I'm in my own head. Oh, my goodness.
Wait, this is what you look like?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong?
Well, nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
I guess I had a different idea.
What did you think I looked like?
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I thought you were black.
What would give you that idea?
You sounded tan.
Yeah. I sounded tan? I'll have you know I'm Persian. I am 100% Persian.
100%?
100%.
You're not a little black.
No, I did a 23andMe.
Wow, me and Ricardo have been up here just talking about, honestly, just a little bit fetishy, by the way, we've been talking about
you. Is it a problem?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a problem.
If it's a problem, then that's on you guys. That's not on me.
Whoa. Yeah. Just saying it was an expectation, and we're trying to adjust.
I mean, it's the first time, like, I didn't think Eminem was white when I first heard him rap. But
right, yeah.
Like, so, you know, it's the same thing. Took me some time to adjust.
So what are you guys doing here for fun?
Like listening to music and feeling a little bit drunk from that moonshine, I guess.
Yeah, me too. Oh, God, I'm sad.
Why are you so sad?
Because my husband, Cal, you know Cal.
Yeah, that weakling.
He's not weak, he just doesn't pay me any attention. And
now too busy working and stacking it.
That's right, stacking. Stop stacking and look at this stack.
I wish I had music to play for you to kind of calm you down, but I'm going to be honest with you. Everything that I pre-prepared was definitely for somebody that I thought was black. You might not necessarily like, you know, I'm just going to scrap it. We'll just kind of just start from the...
Are these my eyes? Is that the doctor's taking an ice pick and...
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No, I was passing out at the time. What's happening? We have to stop him.
I don't know what you expect us to do. I mean,
have to use our power together. We have to use our power together to wake me up.
All right. Secular Roger, what's the loudest music that you have?
The loudest music I have is definitely...
What's that one there? Original motion picture soundtrack? What's that movie?
Of this one?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yes. This is perfect.
What is it? I can't read it. You're holding it up, but I can't read it.
Oh, here, you can hold it.
Oh, do you want me to read it out?
I can't read.
Secular Roger can't read.
I cannot read.
I mean, you imagined it that way.
This is the soundtrack to Pinocchio.
Of course. One of the loudest motion picture soundtracks in film history.
Well, we have to put it on. We have to stop. We have to stop Dr. Lombardi.
All right, put it on. Why?
That's right. Hey, stop it! Stop it! Stop right there!
I haven't even touched you yet.
I got you! Your ice pick is now mine!
Okay, what are you doing? The moonshine was supposed to knock you out completely!
No, my brain and the people in my mind are stronger than you.
This sounds like you really need this procedure. Sounds like...
When you wish
what's
upon
happening?
A star...
Not that song, no.
Makes no difference
but who you are. Don't sing this to me, no.
Anything your heart desires.
That's not true. What are you doing?
Get out of my office. Leave.
Open up. Are you Dr. Emilio Lombardi?
Yes, that is me.
You're under arrest for not attempted murder exactly, okay, but performing lobotomies without a license.
Yeah, you scumbag.
You're a scumbag.
Hey.
Slap the cuffs on him.
Ooh, you fellas, huh?
Ouch.
How's it going? I'm happily married, but I'd love to learn about you two.
What a weird come on.
Hey, boss. Sorry, I'm back at work. I, you know, left early and went home to my wife to have some sex, and it did not go well.
Happens to me all the time. I mean, sometimes you go in there to have the sex, and it doesn't go the way that you want it to. You know, so, you know, it's too much moisture, or like,
yeah,
you know, like, or it's too little, or like, I don't know, it's too hot, and it's like, who wants to have sex when it's that hot?
Yeah.
All types of things can happen to you.
Seems like you get it. You get it.
100%.
Hey, sorry, Cal. Boss, it's me, Greg, again. I did finish my work.
Oh, okay. Is it stacked?
It's not stacked. Can I go home early?
Look, Greg, I can be lenient on you not finishing it, but stacking it. But I can't be lenient on you finishing, but not stacking. Stacking is the most important part to me.
All right, I guess I'm just not getting this. All right, so I've never had a threesome before. How do we work this?
Well, you sit there, and then you, what was your name, sir?
Officer Dano.
Officer Dano, and then you, Officer...
Steve Garrett.
Steve Garrett. You sit there on the bed, and then I'll stand up here, and I'll tell you about a dream I had last night.
Wait, hold on a second. This is the threesome?
Yeah, it's when two boys listen to a woman speak her mind.
All right, I mean, in for a penny, in for a pound, I guess.
So last night I had a dream that a herd of elephants attacked me, but I was able to stop them with witchcraft.
How long is this going to go on for? This lady is nuts. I thought this threesome was going to be something sexy, but I don't know. It just sounds like she just wants to talk about her dreams.
Steve, you got to get out of here, man.
What? Hey.
Oh, hi. I'm Ron.
Ron, I haven't seen you in such a long time. When did you get back in my mind?
I think when Steve picked up that perp the other day, he saw like that something that looked like I don't know. I've been hanging on the back.
Who else is here?
Me.
Well, what?
It's me, Joyce, the vegetarian.
Joyce?
Yeah.
Joyce!
Wow!
I haven't seen you since eighth grade.
I know. I popped back in when you guys came back.
That's
You know I had a big crush on you, right?
No.
What? Everyone did, Joyce.
No.
Joyce, everyone did.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm here, too.
What?
Oh
boy.
No.
It's that crackhead you killed.
Oh,
God.
It still was unjustified.
I know.
And you know it.
I know it was.
Steve, you got to get out of this. You got to get out of this, because this threesome ain't happening. There's no hanky-panky happening here.
Yeah, even I can see that.
Thanks, Kraken.
And 5 years later, my dream said, it came up like a Chiron from the stars. I was pregnant. I had an elephant baby emerge from within.
Let me ask, am I supposed to be erect? Because I am.
Whatever is going on with your body is fine.
Oh, what's that? It's my police radio. It's the volume's turned way down low. I got to hold it right up to my ear. Oh, a murder.
A murder?
Yeah, I guess I got to get out of here. Huh? Dano, you can stay if you want. I feel like I should probably take care of this
I
murder.
Mean, no, if you're going to go to a murder, I'm going to go with you to a murder. You're my partner.
Well, you can stay here. I mean,
oh, no.
This
always happens to me.
I got to take this doctor to the jail anyway.
I've been here the whole time. And you know what? I'm also slightly aroused.
Well, Dr. Lombardi, if you're down, I'm down.
Can I stay?
I mean... Sure,
why not? What a loophole!
But you can't leave, and we'll come back and get you later.
Oh, that's fine. So, what else happened in your dream?
Well, then a beautiful angel came down from heaven and said, "Hey, girl, we got your back." And I said, "Thank God." Then we went to a diner and ate Cheetos.
Wow.
And it all happened in a place called... Spontaneous Nation.
Kimia, where can people find you? Oh, what do you want to tell people about?
Let's see. How about everyone just follow me on Twitter at childclown That's underscore.
Right. That's right.
You gotta add that underscore because some other idiot is also childclown, but never
an actual childclown.
I hope. Who knows? Or Instagram at childclown. No underscore there. I was the first one to grab that.
Because you'll have some exciting news soon by the time of this recording, by the time this is heard by people.
Who knows, you guys? Knows? Whenever Abby's comes out on NBC, there give it a watch.
Go. Yes. Also with our friend Jessica Chaffin is in that. Our friend Natalie Morales is in that. Check out Abby's when it is allowed to be on television.
That's right.
Someday it will be. Mm-hmm. You can't stop it. Blasooch!
Hey.
What do you want to tell people?
Well, Drunk History's on again, so check that out.
That's right.
Comedy Central. The Big Ones podcast with Amanda Lund and I. Subscribe, take a listen, write in your little big one. Or dear big, I'm sorry, your dear big one. I'm sorry, I did it.
You failed.
I messed up. I did what you wanted me to do. Congratulations, Paul. You got it. You did it. You did it.
Where can people find you online?
M underscore Blasucci, mm-hmm. So known as M underscore. Fun fact that just happened. I know this is going to be a couple months in the future, but Donnie Osmond just liked one of my tweets.
Congratulations!
Now, to be fair, it was a tweet where I was complimenting Donnie Osmond.
Okay.
But it felt good nonetheless. Dare I say my jaw literally dropped when I saw the notification.
There we go. Congratulations. We're all very happy for you.
You're welcome. I said you're welcome.
Ronnie Adrian, here we go.
All right, just to get through this quickly.
I know you can do it.
You know I can. All right, so you already know my Facebook stance. Moving on. You can find me on Twitter. I'm hardly ever on it, but if people want to follow me still, you can do that. My homie Evan gave me a follow not too long ago. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
There we go.
Maybe that's what I needed to kind of get my interest in Twitter up. But for real, if you want to follow me on Instagram. It's Bones Adrian. Everything is Bones Adrian. You'll be able to find it. It's that easy.
I'm done. Live shows?
You can see me at UCB every second Friday with White Women. Y'all know I've already talked about them before. You catch me, I don't know, just follow me or something.
Like, wow, he's in such a rush.
Because I was going to say, like, well, you don't follow me, but I don't really post on Instagram as far as like
what I'm doing. Calpurnia Adams, thank you again for being here.
Oh my God. How do I get out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, Evan Schletter. He's Evan Schletter on all the things. Go to evanschletter.com. Check out Evan Schletter's non-spontaneous nation work because Evan Schletter is only the best. How do you spell Evan Schletter? It's very simple. E-B-A-N-S-C-H-L-E-T-T-E-R. I'm P.F. Tompkins on all the things. Go to paulftompkins.com/live. See where we're going to be. That's right. London, England. The London Podcast Festival. Spontaneous Nation Live with me, Eben, Tawny Newsome, Little Janet Varney. Super Ego's going to be there. This is going to be exciting. Pip, pip, and cheerio. Thank you to Earwolf for hosting the podcast. Thank you to Engineer Ryan for engineering us all the way to the end of the show, which this is. Goodbye forever. Until next week, this is Paul F. Tompkins saying, Semper in Presenti.